are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, September the 9th. And what the hell just happened to our football teams this past weekend in Michigan? This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast this offseason. And a shout out to our title sponsor today, Indochino Men's Custom Suits. I'm excited to get my beak wet with these guys and tell you more about them in the coming episodes. But today we're going to talk about Blake Griffin's recent podcast appearance and a recommendation to check that out, and also the finer points, the bullet points that I want to share with you about that one. But we're also going to introduce our 2-5 under 25 series, where we catch up with some of the young bucks of the Pistons media world. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and then also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But as we mentioned on the top, Blake Griffin made an appearance recently, last week actually, on the You Made It Weird podcast, which is hosted by comedian Pete Holmes. He has an HBO show, Crashing, that I actually haven't seen, but I've heard good things about, and also had a late-night show, I believe, on TNT or Comedy Central, something like that. Short-lived late-night show as well. Pete Holmes, I know of him. I've seen him do stand-up. He's a good comedian and a fun listen as well. One of those podcasts you might throw into your rotation. One of those guys that I subscribe to the podcast, and if it's a guest that catches my mind or catches my eye for whatever reason, I'll listen to it. And certainly, of course, Blake Griffin being kind of the prime example of someone that would do just that. And Blake Griffin's kind of flexing his comedy muscles a little bit this weekend. He was at the Montreal Comedy Festival. Seen him do some Red Bull stuff comedy-wise on YouTube. I think he did the he was a taxi driver and was messing around with some of the people in Montreal that were riding the cab. Some of them obviously recognizing him, or if not recognizing him, noticing that it's a 6'10", really fit-looking guy, and obviously that leads to all the conversations. Pretty funny bit that they did there. I appreciate Blake's comedy. I like it. You know, I think he's a little bit transcendent of just an NBA basketball player, and it's nice to kind of have that personality in Detroit. I realize the hypocritical on my end at times, because I'm ripping on Andre Drummond because he makes rap music that, you know, obviously this is not something that I have a problem with, but you know, there's that narrative out there, and I don't think I'm one of these people, but I think the narrative out there is that Andre Drummond gets criticized unfairly because he's doing something that is his hobby and his, you know, something in the off season, whereas Blake Griffin's kind of doing the same thing. And obviously, for all we know, they're both working as hard as they need to be working on their basketball games in the off season. But obviously, I'm not someone who listens to rap music at this point in my life as a 36-year-old man. And Andre Drummond, even if I did, rap music was my first love of music. You know, it's how I was kind of introduced to music as a teenager. And I just kind of have this opinion about today's rap music. And obviously, this is the oldest man yelling at the clouds opinion out there. But I just think that current rap music is just like unlistenable compared to what I listened to growing up. And I know that we're all kind of biased about the things that we liked when we were teenagers. But on top of that, like Andre Drummond's rap music is just not at all something that appeals to me when I listen to it. Whereas when I listen to Blake Griffin do comedy, it's actually pretty funny to me, and I enjoy it. So I get the dichotomy there. Like, I understand that there's a little bit of a hypocrite when we criticize one and don't criticize the other. And I don't think we should really criticize either of them, as long as the body of work come NBA season time is what we expect and hope for as a fan base. But anyway, that tangent aside, it was an interesting listen to have Pete Holmes interviewing Blake Griffin on the You Made It Weird podcast. Pete knows absolutely nothing about basketball, but he's kind of charming about it. A nice guy. He's a sweet guy, as he references himself during the interviews. But he kind of wandered into something interesting at one point, how important hands are for Blake Griffin and his basketball success, and how Pete said that he definitely wouldn't go ahead and do anything like punch people or get into a fight randomly because of the importance of his hands for his basketball success. And as basketball fans, obviously, we know about Blake Griffin's broken hand from punching the Clippers trainer, his friend, and that Toronto incident that is kind of mysterious, really. It doesn't really get talked about. We don't know exactly what happened on that late night incident. So it was almost like he was straying towards asking about something like that as kind of a hypothetical. And that would have been a pretty awkward situation. Ended up being kind of like the last straw of sorts in LA. Although we know Blake ended up signing back and we the trade came as a surprise and all that stuff. But still, it seems like kind of the end of that era in some ways with the Blake Griffin injury under mysterious circumstances in Canada on that fateful night. And Pete Holmes almost tripped himself into what would have been an interesting line of conversation. A lot of religion talk. I think it's kind of an ongoing spiel that Pete has on his podcast where they talk about the meaning of life and, you know, your beliefs in terms of your faith and your religion and things like that. And Blake, growing up in the heartland, growing up in Oklahoma, growing up as a Christian, homeschooled as well for part of his upbringing. You know, you get some chagrin from Blake about how some Christians have disdain for homosexuality. And Blake was very clear that he's obviously, you know, tired of that and fed up with that in terms of his personal beliefs and his religion. But it was just kind of interesting to hear Blake Griffin, a Detroit Piston, talk about things that you don't normally hear NBA players asked about and talk about in a public forum in terms of his thoughts on religion. So I thought that was kind of interesting, kind of a high note of things to listen for and reasons to listen to that long interview that he did with Pete Holmes, and also talked about how Blake kind of started in the comedy world, his thoughts on it, and how he figured out that he was funny and how the progression kind of went from there. So interesting stuff, good stuff. I thought that that would be worth a listen for you guys and just kind of point out that that's out there. And if you want to learn more about the mentality of the Pistons' best player and why he is who he is and what, you know, how you might be able to connect with him and feel like you know the athlete a little bit more than you do just from watching games. Worth a listen. The You Made It Weird podcast by Pete Holmes. I would check that out if I was you. I would check it out when I was in Ann Arbor over the weekend on Saturday at that crazy Michigan Army game before the even crazier Lions Cardinals game in Arizona on Sunday. But also today we got the 2-5 under 25 series, a tongue-in-cheek title for kind of a not a tongue-in-cheek series. It's a serious series, and I'm happy that we're doing it, or happy that I'm doing it. Came up with it as a way to kind of highlight some of the media members out there, maybe lesser known in some ways, but maybe even more known in some ways than some of us other, you know, more traditional media members. But so what it is I'm looking for the young folks out there, and there's plenty of them, just some people that we want to highlight, some people who have not been on the show yet as guests before. And 2-5, because I've got two of them taped already. But I think that we'll be able to come up with five that we can fill up the whole week. We'll do five shows this week is the plan. And, you know, like I said, we've already got two, so it'll be somewhere between 2 and 5. Definitely at least 2, maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5. Trying to get 5. And those folks that I'm talking to, I think, I'm not positive about this, but they're all younger guys. They're in their 20s. And I think all of them are under 25, actually. So interesting to hear from those guys, and we're going to start that up today with Nick Henkel with an interview that we taped the other day. Thanks to Nick again for joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But so we're going to do that up next, actually. So up next, we got Nick Henkel joining us in the first installment of the 2-5 under 25 series. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
And joining us now is Nick Henkel. If you're on Pistons Twitter, you know who Nick is. He's the guy who looks like Joakim Noah a little bit and does the videos on Twitter and does all sorts of other stuff online. Nick, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't think we'd jump out the gate with a Motown Noah thing, but hey, if we got to talk about Joakim Noah, yeah, that's kind of what got me to where I am today, so I roll with it.
Absolutely. No, it's the talent and the passion of the videos, by the way, that's got you to where you are so far. And we're talking to the younger guys in Pistons media that have kind of come through unconventional ways, not like the dinosaurs like me who wrote for the small paper and the medium-sized paper and all that good stuff. But so Nick, and you know, like I said, you know Nick if you follow Pistons Twitter at all, big Pistons fan, the site expert for Nothing But Nets, the fan-sided blog
on the Brooklyn Nets, still writing pieces for Piston Powered as well. And you can find him on Twitter at Nicholas Hinkle. That's N-I-C-O-L-A-S. Hinkle, which is H-E-N-K-E-L. Nick, tell me how the videos kind of got started for you there.
Yeah, so I actually had some really, really big inspiration from Chris Castellani, who is probably the most prominent member of, I mean, he just is the most prominent member of Tigers Twitter. And he would do a post-game recap for every single Tigers game. And for like a year and a half, I was like, I really, really want to start doing that for the Pistons. And then finally, last October, I decided, you know what, I'm actually going to start doing it. So after every single game, I would record a post-game video. And then what I would do is I would, instead of just tweeting it to just out to my followers, I would also attach the tweet to the final score tweet of the Pistons and whoever our opponent was. I would attach it to the NBA's final score thread. That way it's, you know, starts to circulate a little bit. And that just kind of picked up a lot of steam. Like it went way faster than I thought it would. Like I started the season with like, I think like 400 followers, like just family, friends, school people, whatever, work people. And then I hit 1,000 in like 2 months, which at the time was just unreal to me. Like I was like, wow, like this is working. Like this is an actual thing. And it has sort of transcended into this weird thing where like Twitter actually gave me a job. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very cool. And what's different about what, you know, some of the young guys that we're going to talk to this week is that, and I think it's maybe this started, you know, a decade ago or more with Bill Simmons on ESPN, where it's from the fan's perspective, as opposed to your, you know, button-down newspaper journalist from the 70s who wants to play it all right down the middle. It's obvious when you're doing your videos that you root for the Pistons. You're coming from a perspective where you want the team to win. You're pissed when they lose, all that kind of stuff. Can you kind of take me through? I mean, is your Pistons story of a fandom, is it just typical like the rest of us where you grew up here in Michigan and you just kind of love hoops and that's your team? Or is there anything more kind of interesting into your story that way?
Yeah, I really wish I had a better story. I really wish there was some like super awesome story about, you know, oh, I met this player and I was like, oh, I'm going to be a Pistons fan. No, like, you know, I just grew up in Michigan. That's just who I knew to root for. Like 2004 is like really fuzzy in my memory because I was six.
I love that. Yeah,
it's like
years old.
It's crazy. Like I remember 2005 more than I remember 2004. Like Robert Horry's shot. Like I remember losing more than I remember winning. It just kind of like basketball wasn't even my primary sport. I played football for like 8 years, so I cared far more about like Michigan State football and the Lions. Like the basketball was always sort of a secondary thing, and there were times when that would even take a backseat to like the Tigers when they had like, you know, when they were going through what they were doing. I remember, you know, the 2006 World Series, all that, but no, with the Pistons, unfortunately that is just kind of what it is. I just grew up and knew that that was a team I was supposed to root for.
I love that. The reason that the 2004, 2005 is because you were 6 and 7. The reason that my years of that time is fuzzy, because I was in college. So I was probably boozing a little bit too much during that time. Maybe I was boozing more as a junior than a senior or something like that.
Yeah.
But, love that you guys are so young that not only forget about the Bad Boys, the going to work era is like kind of the beginning of your fandom. I love that.
Yeah.
But so, and not only that, but you know, you talked about the following that you gained on Twitter, but in addition to that, the Pistons social media team themselves and the organization has kind of reached out to you a little bit. Why don't you tell us about how all that has all came about?
Yeah, so at the time, I think I was, and not to be all vain, but I think at the time I was, you know, just hitting 2,000 followers. I was like, wow, like this thing, it's, you know, this is really snowballing. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I had just gotten home from work and I was just talking to my dad and I look and I see that the Pistons follow me on Twitter. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like it actually happened? Like the Pistons followed me back. So that was crazy. And then within 30 seconds, I saw that I had a direct message. And basically, I could pull it up right now and read it verbatim. It would just take me a minute to do it. So I'll just try to remember it. It was basically like, you know, Nick, it starts with you. Like it was a super commercialized thing, super generic. But at the bottom of the message, basically they were like, we have this playoff push and we want to give you tickets to the game. And I lost my mind, because I was like, wow. And there were multiple members of Pistons Twitter that they reached out to, that they gave tickets to. It was crazy. So I was able to get free tickets to the Detroit Pistons versus the Orlando Magic, which we did win. And while I was there, like, I got a t-shirt, got this little cool little poster thing. It was awesome. They reached out again like a week later. I believe it was for the Pacers game. I worked, wasn't able to make it, but honestly, their marketing team is tremendous. I mean, giving back to the fans, that's so cool. I know that it's something that I'll never forget.
Well, I don't know, Nick, if you quite realize that, but I think you've officially reached Pistons influencer status. So congratulations
on
that.
Thank you very much.
That's kind of how it goes. You know, like, obviously the team, Little Caesars Arena, as we know, isn't bustling with people on a night-to-night basis. They need ways to bring people in, and obviously for you to spread the word, not only just have you go there, but the idea is to have, you know, you promote, you know, your experience of being at the games, and that's pretty cool. And I think it's nice that the team is recognizing that this is a valuable platform for them to be able to, you know, reach out to some folks, especially the Red Letter fans, which I consider you one of them because of your platform as well.
Yeah, thank you.
But Nick, you recently moved out to Chicago. You're writing for the Brooklyn Nets blog as well. And I know that you'll continue doing the videos, like you've said recently on Twitter and on the videos as well. What's kind of some other plans you have up for the season? Is it just kind of focusing on the writing and the videos, or maybe some podcasting, something like that? Anything up your sleeve coming up?
That's a great question, Matt. Thank you for asking that. So it's really weird. I never really know what significant ventures I can pursue because they just kind of come out of nowhere. So to answer your question in a really roundabout way, like, for example, based on an article that I wrote for Piston Powered, it got me an appearance on ESPN Radio, and that blew my mind. Then, like, 2 weeks later, I was on that same station again. I have been able to get featured on Bleacher Report. Like, I didn't realize I could start writing for the Nets. I didn't think I was qualified to do that, to run a site. So these opportunities, they just kind of come up out of nowhere. So I don't know what exactly my ceiling is. So as far as, like, opportunities, who knows what's going to happen. But as far as things that I know that I can control, things that I know that, like, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this. Yeah, it's really just trying to get Shoot the J, which was my Pistons podcast. It's just, as we briefly discussed kind of before we started recording, like, it's really hard to come up with, you know, 30 minutes of conversation with myself about basketball right now. So, you know, once the season,
about that, trust
man,
me.
It's tough. Like, it's one thing if you're trying to crank out 300 words because you can, you know, reflect on a certain game. You can say, I can write 300 words about how good Blake Griffin is. Like, it's, you know, like, it's nothing. So, you know, I want to try to, because radio is sort of, I think, my end game. I think that's sort of what I want to be doing. So maybe actually trying to be a little bit more committed to that, while obviously keeping the Pistons, like, in the front of my mind, and the Nets kind of in the back. Cause what people kind of don't understand is, like, I took the Nets job because I love basketball and I love writing. And it was a high profile position that I would have been foolish to pass up. Has nothing to do with, you know, me, like, leaving Pistons Twitter. Like, Pistons Twitter is still my home. Pistons are still my team. So it's really going to be just more consistency, just a lot of what you saw last season, maybe on an elevated level. Don't really know what exactly that could mean yet. But one thing I know for sure, again, I know this is a roundabout way to answer your question. For sure, recaps are still going to be a thing. Hopefully Shoot the J makes a return. I'm always trying to come up with ideas, you know?
Yeah, and I know that, and it's something I've done throughout my career the last, you know, 20 years or so, is that you take on certain things. You got to decide how much time you can put into certain things, how much money they make, if they make any money at all at times, and figuring out maybe some what kind of outside jobs you can do to make the dough as well, or maybe get a full-time, part-time stuff. So there's a lot of balancing act, and I know it's going to be fluid over time, I would imagine. But so now, Nick, that you've kind of reached this level, and obviously you're looking ahead to bigger and brighter things, as you should be. But now that you're at this level, and there's probably, you know, dozens or so of guys that are young, even younger than you now, that are going into college or maybe in high school still, what would be the advice that you would give to some of the guys that want to start out, or girls, obviously, too, about kind of entering the wild world of NBA online media, and some tips that you might give?
Yeah, another great question. I get asked this a lot, whether it's just in my DMs or my mentions or, you know, my Periscopes, like when I do Hoops and Brews, which is sometimes a problem because people who have been in my recent Hoops and Brews know that they can be a little bit...
more brews and less hoops.
Don't ask me important questions in Hoops and Brews. Like what I tell people is like, DM me tomorrow. I'll give you a good answer tomorrow. I'm sorry, I can't answer that right now. But no, yeah. It's always the same answer. Unfortunately, you really have to put yourself out there and you really have to, don't say arbitrary things just for the sake of saying arbitrary things and getting people's attention, because then you're forming rhetoric that will give you a bad reputation and people aren't going to want to listen to you. I think it's really important to define your lexicon, sharpen it, create better verbiage for analyzing certain situations and just try to give a different perspective, a unique perspective to the situation that you're trying to gain credibility for, if that makes sense. I didn't think I was doing anything special. I really was just recording what I thought, you know, really what my thoughts were to the Pistons games. And fortunately for me, I'm very happy that people were able, it resonated with people and people were able to be like, kind of like what you said, it's that fan aspect of it where this guy is articulating my feelings in a way that I didn't know how I could. Maybe that sounds a little bit arrogant, but I think you kind of get what I'm saying. You just have to bring something to the table that it doesn't have to be something that nobody's ever seen before, because in totality, what I'm doing, you know, what you're doing, what James Edwards is doing, what Rod Beard is doing, it's all in the same paradigm. You know what I mean? Like you just have to make really quality content, something that people really, really want to, that something you want to create content that people are looking forward to the next piece that you put out, the next video that you put out, even the next tweet that you put out. Consistency is a really, really big thing. The dedication is a really, really big thing.
Yeah. And I would encourage folks to kind of piggyback on what you're saying to try to find that next thing, whether that's I think that you kind of capitalized on it with your Twitter videos, which were something that I wouldn't have considered doing, you know, 2 years ago. But now that I see the success that you guys are having, maybe we'll do something like that, you know, leading into some Lockdown Pistons episodes or something like that. So, you know, and like you said, the balance of saying something that's compelling without, you know, going for absolute shock value every time.
100%.
But also watching games and having a take that's unique. That's not just the same thing that everyone's saying. Notice something about the game and what's going on with the team that's a little bit different than what everyone else is doing. Obviously, deliver it like you said and like you do with a passion and with a difference, something that sets you apart from everyone else. So I guess that would kind of round that all into scope about what you're saying. And and I guess, is there anything else you want to add to what we've talked about here, Nick?
Yeah, I'll add, it doesn't hurt if you look like Joakim Noah, because then
the look,
if you resemble anybody, if you look like Steven Adams, if you look like Jack Black, someone said Luigi one time and I was like, I laughed cause I was like, you're wrong. But like, it's unique. I've never heard it before. No. I think we've hit everything. It's just, I'm very thankful for everybody that obviously that supports me. Very thankful that you even considered asking me to come on here. Even when I was at the Pistons game that they invited me to, my brother was a witness to this, and he was pretty pissed. The usher, we went to show him our tickets, and he was like, "Wait, you're the guy from Twitter?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What? Yeah, like that's me." He goes, "Awesome, man! Like, you didn't even look at our tickets. He just like shook my hand, and we went to our seats." I was like, "What in the world? That was awesome." So I'm just super super thankful that people have allowed me to be in this position. And yeah, this is a great conversation.
Very cool. Well, I'm not blessed with your look. I look more like if Jason Bateman had like a really bad couple years and just like, you know, kind of fell off the wagon a little bit, but that's kind of where I'm at. So not as good, but Nick, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. Again, follow on Twitter as you already do probably at Nicholas Henkel, NICOLAS. Henkel is HENKEL. Site expert for Nothing But Nets, also still writing for Piston Powered. And, of course, check out the videos, Hoops and Brew, all that good stuff, too. Thanks, Nick, for taking the time.
Awesome, Matt. Thank you very much, man. Have a good one.
Thanks again to Nick Henkel for joining us here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. That'll do it for today's show. We'll have another guest on for the 2-5 under 25 series as the week continues here and basketball gets closer and closer And I appreciate you guys listening, spreading the word about the show. Give me a follow again on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at Yahoo, or and then also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Schoch, and I just threw out the email address because I almost did, basically did anyway. Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at Yahoo.com. If you got any ideas, or if you want to reach out about the 2-5 under 25 series, nominate someone who should be on here, or if you are that somebody, go ahead and reach out to me any medium that you deem appropriate, and go ahead and do that. The DMs are open as always, all that good stuff. And one more thing I wanted to say, but it kind of escapes my mind as I finish up the show here. Oh yeah, give us a call on the Google Voice line if you want, 810-666-1546. Call up and give some thoughts on whatever you have in your mind, in your head these days as September rolls on and basketball season, October 1st, training camp opens, coming by the day, closer and closer, getting excited about it. I hope you guys are too. So we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for listening, everyone.